Bola Shakumbi was able to save an impressive $100,000 in 3 years after finishing college. This led her to start her very own web platform, which has become a book. It is called Clever Girl Finance, and its intention is to help guide other women to achieve success through their own financial journeys. She joins us now to talk about her story and what other women might be able to do to achieve financial independence for themselves. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thank you for having me.
You saved, as I said, $100,000 3 years after finishing college. You live in New Jersey. Did you work for Tony Soprano? Did you work for any of his other affiliated crime families in order to pay off whatever debt you had and save that amount of money?
No, I did not. I did it through hard work.
Also an option. Less interesting for a TV show, but also interesting. So hard work and what? Tell us a bit about how you did it.
Oh, my God. So it was a crazy, intense experience. You know, I set this goal to save money coming out of college. I was making $54,000 working in New York City. After taxes, it came out to about $40,000, and I thought I was rich. It was the most money I had ever made in my entire life. And so I set this goal to save as much as I could possibly save, and I started by contributing to my retirement account. So in the States, we have something called a 401k, and I started putting some money in there. Next, I focused on keeping my expenses super low. And so outside of my mortgage and a car note I was paying, I got really, really lean on expenses. I was eating breakfast and lunch at work, you know, strolling through the offices, seeing who was having a baby shower or a retirement party and being like, hey, congratulations. I don't know who you are, but I'll take the free lunch.
Nice.
And really, you know, taking advantage of the free perks at work. And then I focused on saving 40 to 50% of every paycheck I got and anything extra. So think about tax refunds, any small bonuses, anything like that. I saved half of it. And so I basically made myself live on that initial salary. And when I got raises, I tried to save as much as possible of my raises, if not all of my raises.
Now, I used to... Hold on here. I used to live in New York City. It is the most extraordinary city on the planet. There are people trying to get you to part with every single penny you have every hour of every day. How on earth did you withstand the urge to, I don't know, just go to Birdland or take in a Broadway show just once?
Fortunately for me, I worked in consulting, technology consulting, and I was traveling all over the whole place, all over the country. And so I didn't really have that much time to loiter around New York and find ways to spend my money because I was always in some different city on a plane somewhere doing work.
Wow. Have you lightened up since then?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, doing that savings journey, like getting really aggressive with saving, I even made myself busier by starting a side hustle to increase my income, which was part of what allowed me to save that $100K. But once I got over that $100K hump, I kind of took a deep breath. I was like, wait a minute, I actually did this. I can calm down a little bit and, you know, just take it all in. So I did slow down.
Now, of course, everyone is an individual, but what would you say are some characteristics or experiences that women share that might be different from men when it comes to their financial journey?
Oh, so that's a great question. And specifically for women, you know, there's a number of things about us that make us, you know, different. So for one thing, we live longer than men on average, which means we need more money across our lifetimes. A lot of us take time off of work, either temporarily or permanently, to have children, to raise children. This also impacts, you know, our finances and our lifetime earnings. As women, we are also very generous and giving. We give to everybody, our children, our spouses, our family, and we typically tend to think of ourselves last. And so these factors, and when you add on the, you know, gender wage gap, which if you break it down by demographic is just really depressing, these factors impact the way we deal with money and basically should be, they're the motivation as to which we should want to do better with our finances. Mm.
You have made money mistakes in the past. I was very gratified to hear that you were enticed by the credit card companies and their free T-shirts. How did you redeem yourself? How did you unwind that credit card addiction that is ever present for so many people?
Oh my God, the credit card story. So, you know the story from the book is I got this credit card that they sold to me as free money at a 24.99% interest rate. And basically when I got to that point where I had maxed out the credit card, I got like the first bill in the mail. I was just so terrified because I didn't know what I had done with the money and I didn't even really have the income to pay it back at the time. And so I called my mom and I was crying. I was like, oh my God, mom, I'm in trouble. And she's like, really? You better get your life together, get a job, start making money and pay off that debt. And so I basically got really lean and mean with my tiny paycheck. I was on a ramen noodles and Coke diet, and it took me several months to pay off the credit card. It was $2,000. It might as well have been $2 million with what I was earning, but it really taught me lessons about, you know, budgeting and being intentional about how I was spending my money and understanding how credit cards work, especially with interest rates and what it can cost you in the long run.
Your story is really compelling. Going back to your upbringing in Nigeria, the trade-offs that your parents had to make to send you and your brother to college, all that kind of stuff. What do you think was most formative about their imprinting on you and how you behave as an adult based on how you grew up?
For me, it was watching my mom and watching her interactions with her friends. So my mom got married really young. She got married at 19, had four kids, was a stay-at-home mom. And as she started getting older in her marriage, she started to see things around her that she didn't like. She started to see her friends getting divorced or unfortunately a spouse would pass away. And the woman, her friend, would just be stuck with no idea of the family finances or where things were. And I remember growing up, my mom would have friends over in our house and she would be trying to console them. You know, I'm so sorry. Or her friends would stay with us for a few days or a couple of weeks while they tried to figure out what to do next. And so that really left an impression on me because it made me realize that if you didn't have money, you didn't have options. And for my mom in particular, it really left an impression on her because after she saw her friends going through that, you know, getting married at 19 with just a high school diploma, she decided that she never wanted to be in that position. And so I remember going with her to her college classes. My mom was about 33 or 34 at the time, sitting down in the corner. She got her undergrad, her master's, and she aggressively started to save money through her full-time job and through businesses that she was running to the point where she was able to pay for my college education in cash, which was an incredible opportunity because she did this at a great expense to herself and her retirement plan.
Wow. You've got a lot of resources both in the book and on Clever Girl Finance. One of them is talking about something you call the Clever Girl Fund. What is that?
Your Clever Girl Fund is basically your bail yourself out of any kind of situation fund. You know, you lose your job, your car breaks down, you need to get a new water heater, you need to buy an emergency plane ticket. This is basically the fund that gives you the option to deal with that situation without derailing your financial plans, without having to go liquefy your investments. And so I'm a huge advocate of having a Clever Girl Fund. You want to have this money as your backup in the event of an unplanned life circumstance.
What's in the 26-week savings challenge?
It's all about saving your first $1,500. So this challenge is a lot of fun. And we do this on Clever Girl Finance as a way to build the habit of saving money, especially for people who kind of struggle with putting money aside. So we start with a dollar and it builds up to you being able to save over $1,500 in about 26 weeks. And every week there's a challenge to help you save. So this week it could be meal planning. Next week it could be cutting back on subscriptions. The following week it could be returning things or selling things in your closet. So we make it fun and engaging and basically keep you motivated as you work on saving that first amount of money.
Thank you so much for telling us all about Clever Girl Finance and your story. Your personal story is a real inspiration, Bola. We appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Bola Shakumbi joined us from New Jersey. She is the author of Clever Girl Finance, which is both an online platform and also a book.